Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm 92. Psalm 92. This psalm was composed as a Sabbath song of praise to God for His power and wisdom and His providential dealings with the wicked and the righteous. And as we said on Sunday morning, the psalm can be divided into two sections. God and the rebellious. And you have that in verse 6 and 7 and verse 9. And then you have God and the redeemed. And I don't know if you're like me. Oftentimes when I look at the Word of God and I study the Word of God, I like to ask questions of the text. And as you ask question of the text, invariably the text answers you back. And when I look at this particular passage, there are four questions that I ask in relation to God and the redeemed. And from the perspective of the redeemed, the first question is, what are the redeemed to do? Verse 1 and 8 tells us, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse 8, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. And so the redeemed are to give thanks and to praise to the Lord God Most High. But when are they to do it? Verse 2 tells us that as well. In the morning and in the evening. In the morning, we should praise Him for His unfailing love. In the evening, for His faithfulness. Verse 3 tells us how we are to do it. It tells us, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, and upon the harp, with a solemn sign. Why then are we to do it? The remainder of the psalm takes us. Because of His person, verse 4 and 5. Speaks about His actions and His thoughts. But secondly, we are to do it because of God's provision. Verse 10 speaks about God's strength. Verse 11 speaks of the fact that God gives victory to those that are His. He sees the downfall of His enemies and hears the defeat of His opponents. But we are to praise and thank God also for the growth that He gives us in verse 12 through verse 15. And that's what we have been talking about. That's what we began to look at on Sunday morning. The psalmist says in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy and precious word. Amen. The psalmist says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The word flourish, it means to break forth as a bud, to bloom. To spread, to grow. And if you were to insert those definitions into this passage, it would read something like this. The righteous shall break forth as a bud. The righteous shall bloom like the palm tree. The righteous shall spread like the palm tree. The righteous shall grow like the palm tree. And all of those synonyms for the word flourish, that's what God wants of your life and of my life. And we're talking about palm tree Christians. God wants Christians who are flourishing, who are growing, who are blooming. God wants Christians who understand that His desire for them is that they may excel and grow spiritually. And the psalmist tells us how this is done. Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, shall bloom, shall break forth, shall spread, shall grow. They shall flourish in the court of our God. And so palm tree Christians, those who flourish and those who grow, spend time in essence in God's presence. They spend time in God's word. And so we began on Sunday morning talking about the palm tree Christian. Palm symbolizes beauty and fruitfulness. Cedar is an emblem of strength and permanence. God wants Christians who are beauty and who are beautiful characters. God wants Christians who are fruitful. And so we began to look at some characteristics of the palm tree. The palm tree, we said on Sunday morning, the roots of the palm tree go deep into the earth. Has great roots. Goes deep. The Lord wants Christians who are rooted in Christ, who are able to stand firm in the face of temptations and in the storms and trials of life. We talked about the palm tree is upright. God wants Christians who are upright in their character. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 5, as he was talking about talking to the children of Israel, how they were building idols. But he says that these idols were fastened together, but they were upright like the palm tree. Upright like the palm tree. And the fact of this is that the palm tree rears itself straight up into the air. It's erect, stately, and strong. What a fitting image of a child of God who's not crooked, but is upright in character and in conversation. And so tonight we want to pick off and talking about the palm tree is graceful. It is graceful. It is an emblem of grace and beauty as found in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, the palm tree adorned the temple. Jericho was called the city of palm trees and was one of the most beautiful cities of the ancient world. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the saints, in terms of being in heaven, are betrayed as those clothed in white robes with palms in their hands. Again, the emblem of beauty, grace, and victory. John spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ as being full of grace and truth. As a matter of fact, when we look at the New Testament, the Bible says of the early Christians that great grace was upon them all. And there are many facets and many definitions for the word and the meaning of the word grace, but I believe here it means charm and attractiveness. There is something about the palm tree Christian, the one who is planted in the house of our God. They live so near to Christ that people can see that they have been with Jesus. You remember in Acts chapter 4, that these men who God used to open the eyes of the blind man and cause the impotent man to walk and do all kind of powerful things. The Bible says that they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. But before that, the Bible said that they marveled, they wondered. One translation and one definition said they admired these men. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. And when you and I spend time with Jesus, there will be something about us. There will be something about you. There will be something about me that is so distinctive that when people see us, they may not know, they may not understand, they may not put their finger on it, but they will say, you know something, there is something different about this man, there is something different about this woman, there is something different about that young person. Palm tree Christians are like that. They are people of grace and beauty. They give off a fragrance. They are attractive. Let me ask you, are you a palm tree Christian? Am I a palm tree Christian? Are we striving to be that type of Christian? And you see again, you can't get around it. Go back to verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord should flourish in the courts of our God. They will bloom. Because in God's presence is the right temperature. Certain things grow in certain areas and need certain type of temperature and certain types of fertilizer. For the child of God to be like a palm tree Christian, we must be planted. We must be in God's presence. We must be absorbing the very character of God. And that's the key. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. The people of God were called Christians in Antioch, Christ-like ones. Christ-like ones. And so a palm tree Christian, it's like the palm tree, is graceful. Emblem of grace and beauty. But fourthly, the palm tree is like an evergreen. Other trees turn dark and gray during the winter. But the palm tree holds its rich, deep color, generally speaking. It shows its colors in all seasons. It is a symbol of faithfulness. Paul said, be instant in season and out of season. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at some times, right? No, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be always, continually in my mouth. And you see, that's like the evergreen palm. Always luscious, always green, never turns. Can you and I say, I will be an evergreen Christian? I will be like the palm tree, showing my colors at all times? Can you and I say, anytime, Lord, night or day, summer or winter, in darkness or in light, I will follow you in sickness, in death, in joy, in sorrow, in adversity, in prosperity. I will be true. That's the challenge. The palm tree Christian is like an evergreen tree. Some years ago, a minister was in a church, and he was there for a few months. The church was named the Evergreen Baptist Church. And he said, some reason he never asked the question why it was called the Evergreen Baptist Church. It was a beautiful building out in the country. The people were wonderful. And it was surrounded by all kinds of stately trees surrounding the church. It wasn't until the wintry winds and rain had stripped the leaves from all the other trees, then you could see the evergreen showing their colors. And there are church members like that. They show their colors in all seasons. They show their colors in all different circumstances. They never change, even when death comes. Like I heard one sister say, I believe it was Sister Ida or Brother Ida, on the death of her granddaughter, I believe she was here when that news came. But I was in Abaco and I was able to attend the funeral. She said, in the midst of her pain, she said, I still got my joy. Still have my joy. The evergreen Christian, the palm tree is an evergreen. Are you that type of palm tree Christian? Am I that type of palm tree Christian? I will confess, I'm not always. And that's where God wants to get us. That's where God wants to get you. That's where he wants to get me. The palm tree is an evergreen tree. The palm tree is a fruitful tree. And when I talk about this palm tree being fruitful, I'm referring to the date palm that's found in the Middle East, mostly. It produces up to 600 pounds of fruit each year. There are many uses for the date fruit. It's used for medicinal purposes in terms of medicine. The camels feed on the date stones. The leaves are used in making a variety of household articles. Thread and rope are made from the fiber of the bark. A drink is made from the sap. And so that date palm is so vitally important to those people on the Bedouins and those who are roaming the desert and wasteland. It's vitally important. The Arab very existence depend on the palm tree, the date palm. And so, like the date palm, we as Christians should be useful in that sense. We should be fruitful in that sense. The psalmist says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing or prospering. In other words, the psalmist says, they that are planted in the house of our God, if they are palm tree Christians, they will not only produce when they are young, but even when they are old as a palm tree, you will still be producing fruit. Once you are planted in the house of God, once you stay in God's presence, once you honor God and you commit yourself to Him, no matter the age, God will still allow you to produce fruit for Him. God is the source of fruitfulness. Again, this is what the psalm teaches us. Fruitfulness, the palm tree Christian produces fruit. As he dwells in the presence of God, it is through the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the things that are produced by the Spirit of God, one of the heart of God's people. It is amazing that the fruitfulness of the date plant to continue for years. Years upon years upon years. It is noted for its longevity and for its long life. And when I think about that, I think about the fact that even their saints who have gone on to their reward are still producing fruit today. You think about it. You think about the books that you and I read of men and women who have gone on to glory. Think about, we read the book of William Kelly and J. Darby and all these other men of God. Think about those preachers who are still preaching the sermons and outline of Spurgeon, and people are being saved. Their lives are being encouraged. Every morning when I'm taking my children to school, each of them has to be to school by 8:30. And so by the time I drop off, the last one is usually 8:20, 8:25. I turn on the radio to a particular station in the U.S. Listen to one of my favorite TV preachers, Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers has been dead over a year now. But what is happening? His voice is still carrying on. He's still preaching, even though he is dead. And lives are still being touched. J. Vernon McGee has been dead maybe for 10 years, and he's still going through the Bible. And like I said, books of great men of yesteryear, you and I are reading them and benefiting from them. Because they were palm tree Christians. And they stayed in the presence of God. And they allowed God to pour Himself into them. And work through them. And work through them. Some of you have had godly parents. As one sister said to me this morning, she had godly parents, And they taught her from the word of God. They instructed her and her siblings. And she is what she is because of them today. They are still speaking. They are still being fruitful. And you, as you think about that, some of you can think about what your parents have done in your life and the seed that they have planted in your life. And you are what you are by the grace of God, because God, your parents were like plants that were planted like palms in the courts of God. And they poured themselves into you. And now you are pouring yourself into your children and into your grandchildren. And so the cycle continues. And to me, that's awesome. And I think we need to think as Christians in terms of our fruitfulness, that our fruitfulness do not just end with us. Our Pentecostal brethren are often talking about generational curses. And they major on that, but they don't major on the fact of generational blessings. The fact that God says that He's gonna, those who do not trust Him, and you read the book of the Exodus chapter 20, He's gonna deal with them unto the third and the fourth generation. But those who obey Him, the length of that, the length, oh, brothers and sisters, the challenge for us to be palm tree Christians. Because God wants to produce fruit in your life and in my life, that will not only last to time, but you know what? It's going to show up in heaven. Be fruitful. And you see, when we think about what the Bible said, when God said, be fruitful and multiply, I do not only think of being fruitful and multiply in body, in Genesis. I think there's a spiritual application as well. The primary meaning might be, and should, I believe, is the physical, but there's also the spiritual. God wants fruit from us, from you, from me. And palm tree Christians are Christians who are planted in the house of the Lord. They're going to flourish. They're going to bloom. They're going to grow. And the Bible says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing and prospering. Now, our Pentecostal brethren look at that and say, oh, they're talking about money. It could apply. But I don't think that's the main emphasis here. The palm tree Christian. Cliffy, the palm tree Christian, grows in the desert. It strives in burning and burning sun and under the hot sun in the dry desert climate. And I believe that God, one of God's purpose for suffering, that God wants us to flourish in difficulties. It was said of God's people, the children of Israel, that when they were enslaved, the more they were afflicted, the more they grew. The more they grew. God's people grow under tribulation. God, Moses spent 40 years in the back desert. Moses grew. He got older, but he grew. He got to know God. He met God. God was getting him ready for what was ahead of him. Moses could not handle 2+ million people if he had just directly brought them out of Egypt and the state that he was in. God had to get him out of Egypt, take him into the backside of the desert, take him through the woodshed of life and testings and difficulties to create in him. John the Baptist was trained in the desert. Paul had to disappear for a while to spend time with God. And when we see him again, and Barnabas goes and gets him and brings him to Antioch, we see a Paul that was ready. The Bible don't tell us all that he experienced during that time in Arabia. We don't know. But the Paul that we see is not the same Paul we saw being let down in a basket. We saw a man that was prepared, who preached the word of God with power and conviction. A teacher of the word of God. Something happened. God prepared him. It was D.L. Moody who said, or Spurgeon said, I learned more about God in the valley than I learned about him on the mountaintops. You know why? It's because when we go through these difficult times and our trials, that's the time we pray more, right? That's the time we get into the word of God more. That's the time we cry out. That's the time we want to be encouraged. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own way before him. It strengthened our resolve. That's what Job was saying. Though God is slaying me, I'm going to still trust him more. I'm going to trust him more. Very dear friend of ours in Freeport, 3 years ago, had a three-year-old child die of leukemia. And they're really trusting God to heal and bring him through. But it didn't happen. But you know what he said to me? He said, you know, Brother Kevin, I learned, for some reason, I love God even more. He said, I can't explain it, but I love God even more. Even in the midst of this, I love God. See, my love for God has increased. The palm tree grows in the desert. That's where it lives, basically. Especially in the Middle East, when we're talking about that type of palm. It grows in the desert. Finally, the palm tree is an oasis of refreshment. Think about those men who are traversing in the Middle East in a vast wasteland. They look up and they see an oasis and they see a palm tree. They know water is there. They know that they're going to find a place where they can be able to be refreshed. And they could relax. They can have shade. And if the date plant is there, they can have food. And so the body can be strengthened and they can be, reinvigorated. The Christian is like that. Certain type of Christian, all of us should be. God's desire is to make you and to me a means of refreshment.